public places. It's called Oregon Treasures Quest. We had these little pamphlets on the way in. You can take a look. Go and take a weekend with your partner or your children or your friends or somebody visiting and go, okay, I need a breath of fresh air. I need to see a tree and I need to hike a trail or admire the most incredible waterfall, because we have the most incredible state to be found on the entire planet right here. And we decided to make a little bit of a game of it. If you go to 10 counties and send us selfies of the places that are in this book, we have a party for you in November. We had our first annual one last year. The second annual is coming up this coming November. Just something, because it will help recharge our batteries in the quest of saving our nation. God bless you all. Thank you.
You've been listening to Radio Zine on KBOO Community Radio. On this episode, we heard an excerpt from a town hall held by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley and Representative Suzanne Bonamici in Clatsop County. The town hall was on February 22, 2025 at Neocunny High School in Rockaway Beach. This episode was recorded and edited by Alan Niven. Thanks for listening to Radio Zine.
Listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM.
Goodbye.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
International Women's Day is Saturday, March 8th. Here at KBOO, we have more than 24 hours of radio specials planned, and we're starting early on Friday at 9 p.m. Tune in for a whole day of music, culture, and conversations by women and about women. More details about the specials are online at kboo.fm/IWD. That's KBOO's radio celebration of International Women's Day, all day Saturday, March 8th on your community connection, KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 11 a.m. Next up is the bike show.
Welcome to the KBOO Radio Bike Show, broadcasting live from Portland, Oregon on 90.7 FM and streaming live on kboo.fm. All shows are archived on www.bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. We are happy and honored to be carried also by fellow community stations across the land, including new station KORC of Corvallis, Oregon. Nedra, you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, take it from here. I kind of jumped ahead of myself, but take it from here, please.
It's okay. Thank you, listeners, for joining us, and I hope today finds you feeling loved and cared for and healthy where you are in this time of war, fire, suffering, and the relentless attack on our environmental and social protections. We are sending you solidarity, community, resistance, and what is needed to build new institutions. My name is Nedra Deadweiler, and co-host is Alon Robb. Our engineer today is Ty Walker. Alon, hey, happy Women's History Month. How you doing?
And that month should be celebrated every month, right?
Every month.
How am I doing is always a tricky question these days. This morning I ran in the forest with the dogs and my beloved. I saw from my window Mount St. Helen, which is a nice reminder of nature's power. I talked to some friends, but the world situation is definitely weighing heavily. How are you doing?
You have the best answers always. I have taken to meeting with people in person and working towards that goal that we want, like what kind of community do we want to live in? So tracing those steps to find some answers. So I'm doing okay today.
And we participated the last few days in a very lively protest against Tesla and the Nazi saluting owner. And a lot of cyclists came there, and also a protest at Portland State University against the budget cuts and how they're affecting classes and adjuncts. So today, as always, we have a wonderful show and inspiring guests. So tell us, please, who are the guests today?
Yes. Our first guest today will be Dave Simmons. He is the executive director of Ride Illinois, which is a statewide bike advocacy organization. Ride Illinois' mission is to make the state better through biking. Since 2019, Ride Illinois has increased efforts related to bike advocacy, education, and awareness. And in the second half of the show, Alon will interview Jack McDonald, a British writer, musician, and psychiatrist. During the interview, Alon and Jet will discuss Jet's book, Mind the Ride, A Journey Through Cycling and Philosophy. The book is about his journey from England to India and back, and the inner journey as well. So, Alon, we'll see you in the future. Thanks so much for your goodness.
Okay, and maybe before I go, just a few quick news items here.
Oh, sure. Yes,
that and I try to choose items that offer some measure of light and hope. And the first is from Oregon. 26 bike projects have been awarded grants by the Oregon Department of Transportation. Their innovative mobility program. The grants are to communities statewide that are historically underserved, and the idea is to make an immediate impact. And they include in Multnomah County, Blanchard House of Hospitality, hosting bike repair clinics for people with low incomes and people experiencing homelessness. The Rose Community Development Corporation to host bike camps and learn to ride events. And the Community Cycling Center to support youth bicycle mechanic programs in alternative high schools. And to learn more, you could check the Innovative Mobility Program page on ODOT's website. And a European cycling declaration has been hailed as a historic moment for Europe. European Transport Ministers recently signed an agreement called the European Declaration on Cycling, which recognizes cycling as one of the most sustainable, healthy, and efficient ways to cut greenhouse gas emissions. And they committed to build more cycle lanes, parking places, improve safety, and promote plans to encourage a swift a switch from four wheels to two. And the agreement includes specific actions like physical separation of cycle paths from motorized traffic and ensuring safe speeds and mixed traffic. And that's good news from Europe. And in LA, a city many of us might not associate with cycling, the yearly celebration, Cis La Via, it's been in existence for 15 years, and it promotes car-free events across the city. The program was inspired by Bogota's weekly events, similar events, which temporarily transformed streets into open public spaces. And since it began, more than 2 million participants have explored Los Angeles on foot, bike, skateboard, and other forms of non-motorized transportation and transformation. And businesses have been involved, and also city and county agencies. The event is free and open to all. So those events provide an alternative vision, one in which streets are not just for cars, but for people. And those were a few news items from the vast bicycle universe. So Nedra, your first guest, I assume, is on. So take it from here, please. So.
Thank you, Alon. So let's welcome in Dave. Dave Simmons is a 20-year enthusiastic bike advocate. He was certified as a lead cycling instructor for LCI in 2009, which kickstarted his bike education and advocacy journey. In 2019, Dave was hired as executive director of Ride Illinois. Since then, Ride Illinois has moved up from number 15 to number 11 in ranking from the League of American Bicyclists for most friendly bicycle state. Congratulations, Dave, on all of your team's diligent work and the success. So great to have you on this show. How are you doing?
Nedra, doing well. Yeah, excited to be here, and thank you for that that warm welcome.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yes, it's really good to hear more about what's happening in Illinois and your LCI work as well, and also just like, you know, the tips and like, I guess, insight that you can offer for newer bicycle advocates and organizations. We're trying to be more bicycle friendly in Atlanta, where I'm at. Portland is always pushing things forward, so definitely glad to have you here. But before we get into all of that business, want to hear more about you and just like some of the earliest memories you may have riding a bike. How did you get from, you know, when that started and to where you are now? What's your journey?
Yeah, I hope it's an interesting story. I mean, I grew up in Chicago near a great trail system, and so as kids, I don't know if you've read the book Stingray Afternoons, which is a book I highly recommend. It kind of summarized our experience on the bike, where our bike was how we explored things. And this trail that I mentioned, you know, in our minds, it just kept going and going. So we just kept going further down the trail, eventually made it all the way to Wisconsin, for example. So it was just a great way to explore. And I guess I never really lost that wanderlust, maybe is the right word for it. There was a period of time when my kids were young, and of course parental duties kind of took priority, I wasn't able to use my bike as much as I wanted to. But kind of fast forwarding to 2009, when I became a league cycling instructor, that was definitely an eye-opening experience for me, and that's when I committed, you know, made a commitment with myself that I'm going to integrate biking into how I get around. And so that led to commuting by bike. That led to forming a local organization in the community where I live, and then eventually led to the job with Ride Illinois. I will say one of the things I've learned in 5.5 years with Ride Illinois is that a lot of folks in my role, from other states, tend to be transportation planners, urban planners, you know, folks who have a degree in and kind of lean on that. Whereas I'm an advocate who comes at it from a different perspective, but I think that I've learned that perspective is valuable. I can channel my inner 2-year-old and say, you know, why not this? It's been an evolution, but I know I'm speaking to the crowd here, and I'm sure your listeners too. When you think about using a bicycle first as a mode of transportation and a way to get around, your world is completely different. You're happier, you're healthier. It's just a great way to integrate, or a great thing to integrate into a lifestyle.
Wow, what a good, vision of what it looked like. I mean, I haven't read the book Stingray Afternoon, but
you should read it. It's good.
It sounds really good.
It's a humorous. I did. I had a red Schwinn Stingray. And it's, it's humorous, but it's lighthearted. It's a bit nostalgic.
This is a coordinated monthly test of the emergency alert system through broadcast stations in the greater Portland, Vancouver area, including Clackamas, Columbia, Multnomah, and Washington counties in Oregon, and Clark County in Washington, with the cooperation of public safety broadcasters and cable operators. This system informs you of events that pose an immediate threat to your life, health, or property. If this had been an actual emergency, official information would have followed the alert tone. This test was originated by Clackamas County in Oregon. This concludes this test message.
Coordinated monthly test of the emergency alert system.
Through broadcast stations. Okay. We met an LCI seminar, and can you tell us, what is an LCI? And what is an LCI seminar? Because it is a great way to get started as an advocate versus, say, becoming a planner, et cetera. But to make moves in that way, what is that process like?
I meant to look back and see when it was we met Nedra. I know we've got photos, probably in the 2010 to 2013 timeframe, if I'm guessing. Oh, do you know for sure what year it was?
It was 2014, August.
2014. Oh, okay. And you would come from Atlanta, and you came to Chicago for the seminar. I was assisting, and really the idea behind the seminar, it's a program, the Smart Cycling program is run by League of American Bicyclists. And so it was a program for folks to become certified as instructors to teach smart cycling. So that was the way, as I mentioned, really kind of whet my appetite, and then I just wanted more. And so, now I can help with this seminar. And honestly, meeting you and several others, we stayed in touch because it's a way to empower someone. It's a way to acknowledge their skills, acknowledge their teaching ability. So it's a really good program. To kind of briefly summarize what an LCI seminar is, it's a weekend long gauntlet. It's 22 hours, I think, of instruction and skills and evaluating peers, it's over 3 days. It's really, the focus is teaching skills, teaching folks how to teach others, almost like a train the trainer, right? The hope is that when folks are done with that seminar, they feel that they are equipped and empowered to then share these skills and their knowledge with others. And teaching smart cycling classes to individuals, groups, schools, etc. So it's a really great framework. It feels like, I think the latest number was 7,000 LCIs.
Wow.
Over the years of
whom? Wow.
2,500, I think, are active. That was a statistic from League of American Bicyclists that we recently learned. So there's a lot of LCIs out there.
We're going to get interference on the broadcast. Can you turn the radio down?
I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Yeah, I don't know.
If your radio's on, turn it down.
We can work around it.
I don't know. I'm not in a room with a radio.
Yeah, it's just an echo. Right?
Excuse me. This is a law enforcement here. Dave, do you by chance have a radio in the background? Because we hear an echo.
I don't know. And I'm looking to see if there's anything.
Transmitting. Mm-mm. Unless it's just the phone line.
Yeah, it's like a 10-second delay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, is it gone now?
I'm hearing a conversation in the background. It's like we're filtering another radio station or something.
I don't know. I'm not in a room with a radio.
Oh, yeah, there's an echo. Yeah.
Is there a
excuse me.
Hi.
This is alone for a minute here.
Do you want?
Dave, do you by chance have a radio in the background?
Because
we hear an echo.
We're listening to our own show. Is it worth trying to call back? Or?
Yeah. Ty, you want to call us back?
Unless it's just the phone line.
Yeah, it's like a 10-second. This is where the magic of editing comes in, right?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you, Nedra. But...
Yeah, I can hear you. It's a very faint conversation in the background, but...
Oh, yeah, there's an echo.
Weird.
Yes.
I'm sorry, dude.
Very weird. No, it's fine. I'm looking at my phone. Like, all I see is the one call. I don't have any other apps running, so...
Yeah.
And it just started, too, right? So
it did, yeah.
Yeah. Ty, you want to call us back?
Is Ty still there?
I don't know. Maybe if we hang up, he'll have to call us back.
Yeah, I can call back the number he called, this 503 number.
Okay, yeah, the 503.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll give you a second to get connected and I'll jump back on.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'm sorry.
All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, you're on, Deidre.
Oh, hi. Okay. Great.
Are we back?
Hello, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we good now?
I think we're okay for now. Okay. So we have a few minutes left. And what I'm going to do basically is invite you to our July, if you could join us for our July show, because I think, I'd love to actually have our conversation and hear more from you than just,
no worries.
Just where we started. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
proceed however you want.
Maybe we can just finish with what is an LCI, and you were talking about some of the benefits of what people can offer back to the to their communities, and just some of the statistics around how it's increased and who's active.
Sure.
I would say, I guess, as a last question for, you know, before we wrap up is, and even though there's a lot of programs that you have been able to facilitate through RIDE Illinois, can you speak to what it has meant for you to serve for 20 years as a bike advocate, which is, you know, a really great career no matter what one is done, but you have chosen to be an advocate around health and wellness, mobility, and just building community. Can you share what that's been for you and maybe what it's also has meant for you as well?
Yeah, happy to. I mean, I would say the last 5 years. So my role with RIDE Illinois has been fulfilling, eye-opening, like wonderful. In that, I've had the opportunity to meet with so many people and groups and individuals. And I say this from the perspective of, you know, the middle-aged white guy who grew up on the northwest side of Chicago, which doesn't mean much to your listeners, but, you know, Chicago's a pretty segregated city, so the opportunity to go to community events and participate in slow rolls and talk to people who, you know, don't look or sound like me has been the most personally fulfilling aspect. Now, from the standpoint of advocacy, I would say, you know, advocates, and you know, Nedra, like it's not like you can ever check a box and say, we've done it, we're done, right? There's always something else to keep pushing for, fighting for. And so just what's kind of been learned over 20 years, you know, it's an eye-opening experience, and you realize the importance of you collaborating, even with people who have different viewpoints, the importance of partnerships, and you're building that community with folks, you know, ideally a broad-based community, people from different, when we talk about Illinois, it's different geography, urban, rural, suburban. You know, is it race? Is it gender? Is it the type of bike you ride? Like, we talk about, you know, no matter what reason someone's riding a bike, it's a good reason. And so how do we get more people to think that way and to really look at a bike as a mobility option, as a transportation option, not just a toy? So over the 20 years, I can't even remember that far back, to be honest, but it's been such an evolution. And I think, you know, folks who want to, who are outward looking, wanting to enact positive change in their community, will find something to be an advocate for, and they're going to find community around that, and they're going to find resistance, but they're going to be inspired by people. So it's a bit of a kind of topsy turvy. If you're looking at like the roadmap of things going in the right way versus going maybe the opposite direction. But the end, you know, I don't even say the end goal, because like I said, it just continues. It's a great track to be on. It's very, fulfilling from a personal standpoint. And when you can see things happening and people talking and change taking place, you can pause for a moment and exhale. So that's kind of what my last 20 years have been. You know, it started with the LCI seminar, meeting folks like you. Now, next week, going to the National Bike Summit, planning an Illinois Bike Summit, like all these things that, heck, I didn't really know anything about, and really easily could have just said, not for me, but there's value there. There's value for individuals. There's value for communities, the society, and the planet. So it's really so many reasons to do it.
Wow, yeah. Thanks for leading with inspiration and taking the opportunity. And also just like going down challenging paths, because you're right. I mean, some of the things we're going to talk about is just some of the new changing laws and maybe even like how to convince people like what they need to get those laws changed to make their town, their city, their neighborhood, their community more bike friendly. And your bike walk summit is, what date, sir, is that?
Yeah, it's May 7th and 8th. And we're doing it in the capital, in the capital of Illinois, which we've never held it there before. There's a reason.
Right?
We're going to do a lobby day. We're going to, you know, we're going to be talking to elected officials. And then, so part of it is celebration, bringing people together, sharing ideas, maybe overcoming some challenges, but it's also that we're, you know, we're going to the Capitol and we're talking biking and walking and the need for it to be safe and accessible in towns of all different sizes. This is the first time we're doing a partner event with seven other partner orgs, so we're really excited about it. We've got, you know, keynotes lined up and all that. Talk to me on May 9th, and I'll let you know how it went. But we're really excited about the opportunity to bring folks in Illinois together around, you know, when you dust settles, or when you kind of look at it from a different perspective, a pretty simple thing. We just want people to be able to get around their communities without having to drive.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like a big ask, but, you know, it is.
It can be, yeah. And it just makes communities much more friendlier and neighborly. So,
yeah, you're going to wave to a neighbor if they're walking or biking. Probably not if they drive by, right? It's like that whole, like, we need more human interaction. And that's just a simple way to, you know, to make more human action take place.
Yes, totally. Well, good luck on Bike Walk Summit, and looking forward to hear the report back in July.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really good to have a little catch up. And thank you for sticking through the technical difficulties.
No worries. Things happen. Wonderful to hear your voice, Nedra. Please continue doing all the great things you're doing as well.
Yes, we will. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You are listening to the KBOO Bike Radio Show, broadcasting live from Portland, Oregon, the first Wednesday of the month on 90.7 FM and streaming on KBOO.fm. All shows going back to 2001 are archived on bikeshow.portlandtransport.com, and we are happy to be carried by fellow community radio stations across the U.S. and England. And we will take a break and come back with Alon and Jet McDonald.
Red love by glow, head tap foot tap riding on the road. Head tap foot tap, red love by glow. Head tap foot tap riding on the road.
Lady in red,
ribbons and flame.
Oh, bring me the bed,
embers and rain. Head tap foot tap, red love by glow. Head tap. Riding on the road, head tap, foot tap, red low, by low, head tap, foot tap, riding on the road.
Roma, go riding,
rival in red.
Hello, and that was the song Roma Go Riding, and those were the Woodlikes, and one of their members of the band, Jet McDonald, is with us today. Jet, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me, Al?
Yes, great. Jet is a British writer, musician, and psychiatrist. His book, Mind the Ride, A Journey Through Cycling and Philosophy, is a wonderful work, rich in humor and wisdom, about his cycling from England to India and back, and the inner journeys, too. The book ranges wide and far, geographically, metaphorically, philosophically. In the first chapter alone, we meet Plato's cave allegory, the British philosopher Bertrand Russell, Russell's pipe, the bike's virtual triangle, and much more. Jet, good day and welcome to the show.
Good to meet you, Alan, and thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
What are some of the early cycling memories that you have? Was a bicycle always present in your life?
Yes, it was always present. I suppose my earliest proper memories of riding a bike is riding a bike called a chopper. Do you have a chopper in the States? A rally chopper? It was a bike that had a kind of gear shifter between your legs, and it felt like you were kind of on a motorbike bike, and riding the what we call them the camel humps, which were these bumps down the road in the park, which were kind of miniature mountains. So I was always half on my way to kind of bigger hills, I think.
And you live in Bristol. Tell us a little bit about your city and cycling in it.
Yeah, so Bristol, I've been living in Bristol for about 25 years now, and it's not, I suppose it's not a city you'd associate naturally with cycling, because it's quite hilly, and the transport infrastructure is not great for cycling here, partly because it was bombed out during the Second World War. It's a port city, and it was kind of rebuilt in the kind of thrall of kind of motorway transport systems in the 50s, but it actually has a thriving bike community and bike culture. And really my kind of interest, my interest in kind of later life in cycling was born and flourished in that cycling culture in Bristol. I mean, I feel in many ways Portland and Bristol have a kind of yin and yang thing going on, because I know people in Bristol from Portland, and I think they've got similar kinds of cultures in some ways.
And how did the idea to write the book come about, or how did the idea to cycle to India and back, how was that idea born?
There were so many different threads running through that. I think I'd reached a point in my life where I wanted to have an adventure, take a year out, do something different. I've also, I suppose, got a strand to my identity in that on my father's side, I have an Anglo-Indian heritage, and I'd never been to India before. And I kind of wanted to join the dots by bicycle. And I just wanted to have an adventure. And bicycle is such a great way of putting yourself out there, and kind of testing yourself, your kind of physical and kind of intellectual metal to the metal. I suppose that's in essence why I decided to embark on the journey.
And before we go on any further with questions about your journey, can you read a passage or two to give our listeners maybe a sense of the work?
I'd love to. Alan, you mentioned a page, and I've realized I've got the hardback, and you were in the paperback zone.
Yeah, whatever page you choose is good. I enjoy the book tremendously. It's so well written and full of spirit and life.
Let me see what I can find here. I should have done this in advance, really. I was trying to search for the page that you were.
While you're doing that, I'll remind our listeners that this is a KBO radio bike show broadcasting from Portland, Oregon. And if you have a radio, you could listen to it on 90.7 FM. Otherwise, it could be streamed live on kbu.fm. And our guest is a musician, writer, and psychiatrist, Jet MacDonald of Bristol, the UK. And we're speaking about his book, Mind is the Ride, A Journey Through Cycling and Philosophy. So, Jet, if you have that passage, please share it.
Yeah, sure. let me read this about Buddhism, which is in the later part of the book. And I suppose I should preface this by saying that my journey that I went on from Bristol to India, I wrote about, and also wrote not just about the journey itself, but a kind of journey around the bike. So the kind of story of my bike ride from Bristol to India also becomes a story of a journey around the different parts of a bicycle, and also a journey from Western to Eastern philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I decided to locate some aspects of Buddhism in the down tube of the bicycle's mm-hmm. frame. And this is just a paragraph from that. We might think of secular Buddhism as a bicycle ride. A cyclist finds a seemingly random conjunction of events and people at junctions, which turns into the story of their journey from A to B. The ride appears to satisfy the demands of both the secular Buddhist on the one hand, looking for a non-religious representation of interconnection, but also the rational humanist on the other, embarking on a journey of linear progress. But what this pedaling analogy does not take into account is the wayward imagination of the rider. To strip away myth, as both Buddhism in the secular sense and hard rationalism tend to do, would be to kill off metaphor and its hold on our imagination. Reincarnation and rebirth imply a metaphorical cycle of change, the circularity of the seasons, and at a more personal level, a pattern of habitual thinking that Buddhists hope to free themselves from. Metaphor and myth are places where the passionate crises of religion, the yearning of man and woman for transcendent meaning, take admissible form. And really, kind of what I'm doing as I go through the book is searching for kind of the parallels between different philosophical and spiritual beliefs and the experience of cycling. And there's aspects of cycling where I find kind of a sense of transcendence and interconnection that I kind of plug into some of these different spiritual and philosophical mm-hmm. traditions and try and understand how one can inform the other. And that was Buddhism in the down tube with mm-hmm. the bicycle frame. Yeah.
And I love the beautiful descriptions of bicycle parts and the connections you make. You know, when you're writing about the bell, for example, you mentioned timekeeping and its history, cyclical time in Buddhism and Hinduism, and the belief in death as just another path to the next cycle. And you also evoke snails. And I liked how you wrote about the bell, the bike bell, the unholy cowbell, is poetry in free verse, a chime without a clock, a poet calling from the slavishness of the working week, well-dressed in the disguise of puritanical gears, stumbling sideways into the verge of the seasons. And it made me, after reading your book, I thought about different bicycle parts in a different way. I thought you did a really good job combining all the different elements. So, you know, you face some challenges. I mean, even after the first day, you were going to sleep in and you didn't want to cycle further. And then you had some mechanical problems. What were some of the bigger challenges you faced? And was there any a point you said, damn it, what am I doing here? I could be in bed in Bristol playing music. What am I doing here on the road?
Yeah. Well, I think everyone, every cyclist, you know, experiences that to different degrees, whether you're kind of heading down the shops and you're getting drenched, or whether you're on a kind of 10,000 kilometer bike ride and you don't know when the next pit stop's going to be. But you kind of experience those highs and lows and a kind of repetitive cycle on a long journey like the one that I did. And I think probably the nadir, the kind of places that I found hardest were the places where there was the least food, the biggest roads and the highest mountain passes. Mm. And probably in Eastern Turkey, I experienced a kind of lack of food and a kind of degree of gradient and incline that really pushed me to my limits. You know, you've probably heard of type 2 fun, which is the fun that you kind of think about in retrospect. And there was a lot of type 2 fun going on in Eastern Turkey, and became slightly sick there. So when you add kind of hunger plus sickness, plus kind of those enormous kind of demands you're putting on your body from cycling 5-6 days a week for 8 hours, then, you know, you do wonder what the hell you're doing. But actually, I think at the same time, the odd thing is you're pushing yourself to the kind of limits of your endurance. And there's something about doing that, feeling the edges of who you are, both kind of physically and psychologically, that really gives you a shiver of being alive. So I wouldn't kind of be without those experiences either. Mm. But yeah, certainly those big hills and nothing to eat were some of the most challenging times.
And do you think that sense of overcoming it could be applied to other aspects of life? Do you apply them once you're back in England, or do you take that from the road back to your daily existence?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't kind of go on an adventure like that and not come back changed. Mm-hmm. The paradox for me is that I went a very, very long way to come back to myself, mm-hmm. and a kind of sense of stillness. My mum, I wonder if she'll listen back to this, but like, plug for my mum. She was always trying to get me to, this was long before the mindfulness movement really came into being. And certainly in a kind of more kind of zeitgeist sense in the West, she was always trying to get me to meditate. She had a very tense shoulders, Jethro, very tense shoulders, Jet. And she bought me a book called Meditate in a Day, and then she got me a book called Meditate in an Hour, and finally she got me a book called Meditate in a Minute, I think, all of which I bypassed. Mm-hmm. But then being on this bike ride and having a kind of physical experience, which I think cycling can give you, of a kind of circularity, repetitiveness, a sense of stillness and movement at the same time, I kind of experienced a change in kind of my sense of self and how I related to the world, which has these parallels with kind of meditative experiences. Mm. And actually that was an impetus for me to kind of reinvestigate meditation and some of the philosophical traditions associated with that, which I hadn't really thought about before and which I talk about in the book. So yeah, weirdly, kind of moving for 9 months continually, cycling all that way, gave me a sense of the importance of being still, which I think is a lovely paradox.
Mm-hmm. Well, hooray for loving moms and their wisdom. And you know, you write that the lesson of bike touring is that people are kind, and that the kindest of strangers would increase exponentially the further east we traveled. And that was something I heard from other people who, you know, spoke to Dervla Murphy, you know, an Irish cyclist.
Wow.
Yeah.
You spoke to Dervla.
She was on our show a few years ago.
That's
and
amazing.
A friend from Thailand, Sarah Pansonik, who traveled all over the world. And they say that, you know, people always say the world is dangerous, but their experience has been that there's so many kind people in the world. Can you maybe share some of the experiences you had with these kind of, you know, behavior and people?
Sure. Well, first of all, just to say about Dervla Murphy, and I forgot to mention this, she was one of the inspirations for my bike trip, because I read Full Tilt, which is an incredible book that she wrote, and was really inspirational. But the kind of experiences that we would have would be, and these were largely, you know, we went through the Middle East, in Islamic countries, of people kind of, for example, poor families wanting us to sleep in their kind of main room, and they might have two rooms in the house. And then because the families were quite large, they would sleep in the yard. And, you know, that's a little bit perplexing in terms of you know, what should we be doing? What, why have that they kind of so unselfishly kind of extended their hospitality to us in that way? And so really going above and beyond what you'd expect, you know, to do sometimes for even your own friends and family, mm-hmm. but for people that they hardly met before. Sometimes it was just tiny little things like someone pulling up in a car and giving you a bottle of water. It felt like that kind of kindness was something to do with the cultural exchange, you know, that went beyond nationality and was more to do with the experience of being human across borders. Mm. So that experience of being fed, continually fed, mm-hmm. Without needing to buy food or in many cases, for example, in Iran, we had to book ourselves into hotels sometimes just to have a bit of time to ourselves, because mm-hmm. you could cycle into a town and five families would offer to put you up in their house. So, you know, quite an extraordinary kind of offering of self and home that we experience.
That's wonderful to hear. And as someone whose life was always blessed by dogs and cats, I was interested in your description of Romanian dogs and their love of cyclists, or maybe cyclist ankles and legs. And for the sake of the little four-legged family member that provides endless joy and wisdom, Gino Nugget Bartali, were you completely fair-minded about his East European relatives? He seemed to think that you were harsh and ignorant and is considering a lawsuit against you. So tell me about those Romanian friends of yours with big fangs and...
Well, I kind of... let me say that on behalf of human beings and in response to your dog's concern, I'm very fond of dogs. I do love dogs. It's just the relationship between wilder dogs and my legs has a more kind of tense kind of aspect to it. And this was fully realized in Romania, where there is a kind of there's a greater prevalence of wilder dogs who don't necessarily have the same behavioral cues that, you know, kind of more domestic nurtured dogs might have. And certainly like farm dogs, wilder farm dogs will kind of patrol the edges of their farms in quite a vigorous and vicious way. But beyond that, there were a lot of dogs that were kind of released following Ceausescu's, the end of Ceausescu's regime. And those dogs kind of became a bit more feral. There's a kind of law amongst cyclists that you have to be careful of your ankles when you're cycling in more rural Romania. There's a lot of kind of stooping towards stones or sticks, not necessarily to use, but to kind of indicate to stay away. Actually, kind of I found the most useful thing was something that's a bit less aggressive than that, which was actually just getting off your bike and standing behind your bike. So if you were being chased by a dog, you kind of pretended to be a bigger dog. And they, rather than trying to cycle away, they responded to that and kind of turned with their tail between their legs. Not necessarily between their legs, but would stop anyway. Yeah.
Well, I think Gino might be satisfied and withdraw his lawsuit. So our time is just flying by. And there's so many questions I wanted to ask you. One was about riding from Bristol to Glasgow, a 7-day journey to deliver a block of ice to those meeting at the COP26 and sending the message that time is right running out. And you say that You're asking what to do with the grief, whose grief, and for what? The oceans, the polar icebergs, my middle-aged knees. So if we could leave for aside your middle-aged knees, what do we do with grief, and what gives you personally inner strength and hope? And I'm asking that as somebody involved all my life in Peace and Environmental Group and living in a country now ruled by hooligans and arsonists and murderers and thieves. So give us, in the few minutes remaining, maybe some hope and strength.
Yeah. That's a great question, and a great question for these times.
And for a whole lifetime to answer, yeah.
Yeah, for a whole lifetime to answer. I think you've kind of answered it in one way by your description of you spending a whole life involved in these movements, because to be is to do, you know, and if we kind of can align our values with our actions, so if we can align what we think is important with what we do, then I think there's less of a kind of disconnect between what's our reality inside our heads and what's going on outside our heads as we perceive it. And perhaps to a certain extent, I think let go of the outcome. And I don't mean by that, say, whatever we do isn't going to have an effect. But I think there can be a sense that we're working with such tremendous forces that what's the point in doing anything?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you can align what you believe in with what you do, and try and focus less on the outcome, then I think you're kind of halfway to a kind of sense of hopeful fulfillment of your own kind of beliefs. If you could, I suppose what I'm saying, if you can kind of actualize what you believe, if you can make it happen in a way that makes you feel alive, then you can kind of bring joy and hope together with a kind of activism at the same time. So for me, I discovered cycling, I suppose, makes me feel alive. It makes me feel present in the world. It takes me places.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to bring my beliefs about what we need to do in terms of environmentalism and, I suppose, aspects of political activism, and channel that through cycling. And that's how I aligned my values and my actions. Mm. And cycling from Bristol to Glasgow was a way of kind of acting that out, kind of physically, symbolically, psychologically. That's what I think personally.
Thank
you.
Thank you. And you conveyed all that beautifully in the book. I would have liked to ask you many more questions about your music, about your first novel, about your traveling mate, Jen, and how the trip affected her, and also about your work as a psychiatrist and healing, and if cycling has a place. But that will have to wait for another show or another cycle of existence. So, Jed MacDonald, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I highly recommend this book, Mind is the Ride. And all the best to you and those you love, and keep cycling.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and you, Alan. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
And if you ever make it to Portland, please don't be a stranger. And I promise Gino will treat you well.
I'll bring him a bone.
Okay. All the best.
All the best. See you later.
You have been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon. My name is Alon Robb. I would like to thank our guests Dave Simmons and Dr. Jed MacDonald, and apologize to Dave for the technical difficulties. Perhaps you could come back to the show again and share the important work you're doing in Illinois. I'd also like to thank co-host Nedra Deadweiler, our engineer Ty Walker, and Chris Smith and Josh Hedrick for making all shows available on bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. A big thank you to you, our listeners. And I hope that the coming month is a good one for you, for the country, for the world. I hope the days ahead will see more actions towards making our home, the Earth, more bike-friendly, environmentally conscious, and centered on human and planetary needs, on peace, justice, and equality. Be well.
Listening to KBOO. Coming up next is Jazz Lives, right after these news headlines.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM.